That brand.
Going in different ways, you know, when you're younger. But then when you pick up, it's like we've been together forever. It's been so fun.
If I'm too loud, just tell Keith, he'll fix it. Lord Jesus, we just want to come to you and bring this, bring ourselves and our hearts, our spirits, souls, and bodies, our hearts, our minds, our wills, and just surrender to you right now in this moment. Ask for your spirit just to fall on us today. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear.
Yeah.
Let everybody get plenty to eat. Good. Thank the Lord. Isn't that good that Jesus cares about what goes in our bellies? Isn't that amazing? What's that? Enlighten you? Okay. Well, I'll try. My prayer is for the Spirit of God to be in this place, right? Because I can say a lot of fancy things and nice, clever things sometimes, right, Chris? Every now and then. But it's only Jesus that can speak to the heart. And that is where life begins, right? Tune up here. You know, it's funny how sometimes, you know, we want to know something new. We want to hear something new. Like, we want to be enlightened, right? But what I've discovered, that Jesus has already spoken things that I just don't live, right? And sometimes we're waiting on a new word. We're waiting on God to speak. We want Him to make things clear when He's already said so many things that we just don't live into, right? And for a lot of us, we've heard that through belief in Jesus, we can be sons and daughters, right? The problem is that a lot of us had terrible parents, right? If we're honest, a lot of us just had an upbringing that was just not ideal, right? We were abandoned, we were cast out, we were beaten, we were mistreated. And the problem is that the way it works is we form how we see God based on how we saw our parents, how we saw our dad, right? And when that wasn't so good, our heart holds on in fear, thinking that God's just not good. He can't be. So we pray for something new. We pray for, maybe God will reveal something new to me. Maybe He'll finally make all my problems go away, or finally do this, or finally do that. But what's been revealed, the most important truth about God has been revealed through His Son, Jesus, that His heart towards us is good. Like, He loves and cares for us the way a father should care. And not only does He care about provision, He also cares about the desires and the dreams that reside in our hearts, right? Things maybe that we've sort of pushed down over the years, and we said, no, that can't be possible. That can't work. And for a lot of us, that dream is just living in a house, right? We live outside. We live under bridges. Because we think that there's no way that the Father could love me enough, care for me enough. Right? But the truth is, the truth that's always been, right? Here's your enlightenment. The truth that has always been is that God is desperately in love with you. And He has never stopped pursuing you, right? He has never stopped chasing after you, right? And it's His love and kindness and His fathering that changes everything, right? It changes the heart. But some of us just need to stop running. Some of us just need to make a conscious choice today to believe that the heart of God is good towards us. that he wishes goodness. He's not mad and angry and just waiting on you to get your shit together and behave, right? He doesn't care about that. What he cares about is your heart, because that's where all of the evil comes from. And he wants to change that. And it's only in his love and his mercy that that can change. It's only in accepting that his heart towards you is good, and that he is a good, caring, loving father, that that will ever change. Right? But it's just, isn't it too good to believe? Isn't it too good to believe that we have a good, loving, caring father that's always one step ahead, preparing the way for us, right? Right? That is the truth. And it's always been true. It's just time for us to start living like we believe it, right? There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation. Jesus, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us. Jesus, Jesus. Today we praise you for what you have done, what you want to do, what you will do, And we praise you that you are a kind, loving Father who is always with us. Your presence never leaves. But Father, we have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Father, we just pray that you would break down any stronghold placed by the enemy. We pray that you would give us those eyes to see and ears to hear your words over us today. God, we consecrate this time to you. We consecrate the words that will be spoken through Keith today to you. In your name we pray, amen. Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Jesse, you need that? All right. So, who was here last week or who watched online? Anybody? Couple? Two? Three? Anybody else with us? Were y'all with us last week? Yeah. He was with us. The legend Charlie Vifquin was here. If you were not here, the reason I asked that, I encourage you to go back and watch online. Always does a stellar job. I mean, just a heart, beautiful, beautiful message. Where is God when it hurts? And that's been a beautiful message for me to go back and listen to this week. But not just a beautiful message. I love the deliverer of that message. That is our brother, and we sure miss him. Can I share one little moment of disappointment from last week? If you were here and listened, one of his points was he got to a place in the message and he said, what do we do and where is God when it hurts? And he says, there's a moment that we have to get to and we just have to hold on. Anybody remember when he said that? We just have to hold on. And I told Caroline this last week. We were sitting right there on the truck. He said, it reminds me of a song by one of my favorite artists, and I just wanted him so bad to go back to the 90s and sing a little Wilson Phillips, Hold On for One More Day, and he didn't do it. So, Charlie, if you're listening, I was disappointed in that, but it was a beautiful job other than that, all right? So, last time I taught in Matthew, we looked at a super challenging and beautiful verse. I thought of this. I want to see if you remember this. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, dying to self and living for him. And this passage is going to follow directly from that. So I'm going to read today, starting at Matthew chapter 10, just a couple of verses. We'll get into it a little bit and see where God takes us, all right? Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 40, it says, whoever receives me, and whoever receives me, receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is my disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. It's a beautiful day with a bunch of beautiful people gathered around. Again, Jesus, we thank you for that, and we pray that you just speak to all of our hearts here this morning. If we've yet to enter into relationship with you, we pray that starts today. If we already have, just draw us closer to you as we leave this place. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so I want to remind you of the context here. Jesus is talking with his 12 disciples, right? He's gathered them together, and if this is this one long flowing conversation in Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus has gathered his closest confidants, his traveling partners, and he brings them together and he says, listen, I just want to tell you that you are being sent out. I'm sending you out as an extension of my ministry, and I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. All right? Put yourself in the spot of that. Like,
I told you that first time we talked about that. They didn't have Discovery Channel like we do, but they knew that wasn't a good scenario, right? A sheep being sent out to the wolves. And then he adds, he says, and oh, by the way, you may be handed over to governors or other principalities and be flogged in the synagogues for my name's sake. Not to stop there, but you'll be hated for my name's sake. Not to stop there, but I'm giving you a word and don't worry about what to say because in the moment I'll give it to you. Persecution is going to come. You will be hated for my name's sake. And I just want to tell you, I said it in kind of jest the first time, but I honestly believe that in that moment, standing there and listening to Jesus, I'm probably the guy sitting in the corner saying, did he just say we're going to be flogged? Anybody ever seen the beautiful Homer Simpson meme where he's just backing into the bush and hopes to be kind of left alone and forgotten about? That would have probably been me in that scenario. Like, hold up, like, and now you're talking about taking up my cross? Make no mistake, it wasn't a tattoo, it wasn't jewelry, it wasn't a t-shirt. When Jesus told the disciples, take up your cross, they knew exactly what he was saying. It's like, you've got to die to yourself today, no longer live, it's me that lives through you. And so Jesus is still in this long conversation. And again, I've got to imagine some of the disciples are still up here saying, sheep among wolves. And he's still just giving them instruction of when I send you out, I want you to know these things because it's going to be very important for the journey that you take this information along with you. And so this is the conversation he's continuing to talk to his most trusted followers. And he starts out today's passage and says this, whoever receives you receives me. All right? This is beautiful because in this passage, Jesus has already said, I'm sending you out, but I'm not sending you out alone. I'm going with you, and I'm sending you out with the power to heal, the power to teach, the power to prophesy, the power to cast out demons, the power to do all sorts of things outside of yourself, but through my strength. I'm sending you out, yes, a sheep among wolves, but I'm not sending you out with the shepherd of the sheep. I'm going with you, right? Because that's what the shepherd does. He's sending us out as sheep among wolves, yes, but the shepherd fights off the wolves. Amen? Amen? So he's not sending us out alone. He's sending us out there and sending as an extension of his ministry. Can I give you some good news today? Everybody look this way. If you count yourself as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you can read this passage and mark it down that, yes, he is calling you and sending you out in ministry in your own kind of way as sheep among wolves. One day we may be handed over. There may be persecution that comes. And we too have to pick up our cross and die to ourselves every single day. It's the same message. If we're a follower of Christ, whether we're 2,000 years ago or we're standing in this parking lot today, this is the same thing he's given his followers. I am sending you out with my authority, my blessing, my charge, that command to go. Remember this. Jesus had a moment where he is finished with his earthly life. He's risen from the dead. He's appeared to many. And he's standing before his disciples about to ascend into heaven. Don't you just think logically whatever he's about to say is about to be of great importance? I mean, he could have said anything too. Think about it. He could have said, now listen, boys and girls, I want to gather you around. I want you to memorize the most amount of verses in your Torah in the law that you can. Boys and girls, I want you just to find you a good church home and I want you to be a part of a fellowship. Boys and girls, I just want you just to behave and, you know, mind your P's and Q's and just wait on me. He gathers them together and he says, I want you to go. I've already told you, I'm sending you out like sheep among. Don't focus on that part. Focus on the go. I've got a mission for you. If you're my disciple, if you follow me, I've got a job for you to do. He didn't even say, obey all these commands. He didn't say, go to church, pray these long prayers. He said, I want you to go and make disciples. Can I ask you a question if you're a follower of Christ this morning? How many disciples are you making? We say, well, that's not up to me. The ultimate work is up to him, but you are called to go. Where are you going? Are you sitting still? He didn't save you to sit. He saved you to serve. Bottom line, you can't have the fire insurance and just say, that's all I got. It's not really salvation because a salvation sets us into service. It's bottom line. That's what we are called to do if we are his disciples. If you don't believe me, listen to the writing of our brother, the Apostle Paul. He writes in 2 Corinthians this. I wrote it down. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. If there's any message I got out here, and my dying message will be this. We are ambassadors for Christ, and our job is to be conduits for people to be reconciled to God. I go back to my Easter message. It was a weird message to come from, but I went to that prodigal son moment. We know the story. We talk about it a lot out here. And we said somehow we paint others in that prodigal. We are all prodigals. I want you to look around. We all chose our own way. Sin was entered into the picture for us. Even when we didn't choose it, we know we would have. We inherited it. By the one man, Adam, we inherited a sin nature. We all have to have the returning moment. We all have to have the returning home moment. And all I can promise you is that when you come home, he will be there waiting over the hill, not waiting for you to come to him, but running towards you. He will embrace you. He won't be able to stop kissing you. And he will put the best robe on, the best ring, and he will tell everybody, let's have a party. My son or daughter that was lost is now found. My son or daughter that was dead is now alive. I have a father who cares about me. You have a father who cares about you. You say, Keith, you don't know what I've done. I got even better news. Everybody tracking with me? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you're doing, or will do. It bears no bearing on the situation. It's all about what a man laid down on a cross and said, it is finished. You take him at his word. It's finished under the blood of Jesus Christ, under the cross of Jesus. We were made ambassadors, a job not to sit on the sideline, but to go and represent. An ambassador is simply this. Here's the real definition of the word ambassador. If we're ambassadors, we need to know what we are, right? It says this, a diplomatic official of the highest rank. Everybody look out here. If you know him, let me give you your rank this morning. You ready? Son, daughter of the King of Kings. That's what kind of ambassador you are, right? A diplomatic person, official with the highest rank, sent by one sovereign or state to another as its resident representative. Can I get an amen on this? Let me tell you. You are an ambassador of the kingdom of God. That's what we represent. Whatever the days hold, whatever we got, this is what we do. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. I remember as a little boy going to church and saying something that I can't even remember now. I used to have it memorized. I was a royal ambassador at one time, and I'm still a royal ambassador, even though I don't remember that silly little thing I used to have to say. I'm an ambassador of Christ. May not always be a good one, but I am an ambassador of Christ, and you are too if you know him. I want to tell you this with all my heart because I said it with an ambassador. We are representative of not just a king, but the King of Kings. It may not matter to you, but I jotted this down in my notes and I wrote it this way, and I love writing that statement this way. When I write King of Kings, I write the first king in all capital letters. The big king, the big cheese, the big boss, right? King of, and I go down and I write in little bitty font underneath it, King of Kings. Because anyone who's ever been in any position of authority, if it's the White House to the outhouse, if it's the biggest palace in the world, they are subject to the King of Kings. He is the name above all names. And I'll tell you this, with as sure as I'm standing here with breath in my lungs, that I will tell you his name is greater than any name. You take any influential or powerful person and you put a name to him, his name is greater. But it doesn't just stop there. It's anything that you can attach a name to. And what I mean by that is this. It means addiction in this parking lot. It means any kind of affliction. It means any kind of physical thing. It means anything that can be named. Depression, bitterness, anxiety, worry, cancer. Anything that can be named. The name of Jesus is above all names. Amen. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is our job as ambassadors, to let everybody know that we are members of that kingdom and it reigns supreme in our life. Our job is to live, breathe, act, walk, and love in such a way that it implores people to be reconciled to God. Can I give you a good word on what reconcile means? It means to restore friendly relations between. That we could live in such a way that we witness and point others to the fact of their buying back moment, that they were created as children of God, chose their own way, and there's this gap that they can't bridge on their own. The reconciliation of God to man is from no other way than the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the reconciliation power of the gospel. That is what we're called to be ambassadors to. And Jesus says this, whoever receives us as his disciple receives us with Christ's blessing and sending us out. He goes on, he says this, also if somebody receives Christ, Jesus goes on to say, whoever receives me receives him who sent me. Here's what it means. If you want to be reconciled to the Father, your Creator, there's by one means that you can get there. It's not by good works. It's not by church attendance. It's not by membership. It's not by helping as many people as you can. It's not by doing more good than bad. It is by one man. Just as we inherited our sin nature by one man in Adam, one man in Christ is our redemption. That's our reconciliation moment. And when we reconcile, when we are a part of reconciling others to God, the people that receive Christ also receive the Father. That's what Jesus is saying. They receive me, then they got the Father. That's our job. That's what he's called us to do. It's a must. He created you to receive Jesus, and he created you for relationship, and this is the means in which he chooses to do it, through Christ and through Christ alone. I pray this morning in this parking lot, if you're counting on anything else, that today is the day that you stop counting on any other form other than Christ to bring you into relationship. He goes on, he says, a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And this is a beautiful word that we could miss at face value. I want to tell you, a prophet is someone who has been given a message by God to deliver to people. All right? That's simply it. A prophet is somebody who's been given a word. And I want to remind you back to the context. Jesus is talking with the 12, and he's basically equating them with a prophet. He's saying, I'm sending you out. I'm giving you a message to send out into this place. You are my prophets. And if people receive a prophet because they're a prophet, they're going to receive a prophet's reward. And he goes on to talk about righteous people. We'll talk about that in just a second. But no doubt when the 12 disciples heard this, they hearkened back to the Old Testament, major and minor prophets. And I want to tell you this, there is no major and minor differences in the proper. That only comes down to the significance of the length of their story. It's not that the minor prophets are less significant than the others, but I went back and was just thinking, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, some of the major prophets, minor, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Anybody named Obadiah out here? Anybody ever met somebody named Obadiah? All right, I thought so. Jonah. And he's taking the 12 and he's equating to them and he says, you are a prophet and I've got a job for you. I've got a word for you to go and to share. Well, we may not be prophets out here, but I believe that he's given us a message from God to deliver. But I can tell you this, I look around and I do see a lot of righteous people. I do. You say, well, man, you don't know me. Can I tell you? This is good. Everybody look. Your righteousness has got zero to do with you. If it does, you're in trouble. That's it. Bottom line, that's the message of the gospel. You want to know why people dip spaghetti over there? It's to let you know that you cannot count on your own righteousness. You can't. I know some good people out here, but outside of Christ, your righteousness is not enough. It's either Jesus is our righteousness or it's filthy rags. There is no in between. I want to ask everybody to do me a favor. I want you to close your eyes for just a second. I didn't plan this, but I just want nobody looking around. I want you to do business with God on this verse. I read 2 Corinthians 5:20. I want to read the following verse. This is Paul telling us not only are we ambassadors, but I want you to hear this. I want you to hear it with a heart of love that it was intended. Everybody, eyes closed and listen to this. Let the Father speak. For our sake, that means for your sake, your name, your sake, He, the Father, made Him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin. Why? So that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. I want everybody to look at me. You, your sinful, dirty, filled life can be the righteousness of a holy God. How? It's Jesus. That's it. It's nothing you got to do. You don't have to buy it. You can't earn it. You just simply bow the knee and say, I'm in. And what that means is that a sinner like me, all that I've done in my life, all the stuff I've said, all the stuff I should have said that I didn't, when I stand before a holy God one day, 50 years from now, when I've left this earth, and I stand there and I look at Him, He's going to look at me and say, well, that's not Keith Akins. That's Jesus, my Son, because He's covered in the spotless blood of the Lamb. You want something good to live for? Live for that. You can become, Jimmy or Bruce, you are the righteousness of God. I know that. Because Jesus covers your heart and life. That's a good man, but it's a better man with Jesus. I can tell you, John Miller right here knows Jesus. He has a relationship with Him. Jeff over there, I know he has a relationship. They are the righteousness of God, and it's nothing that they've done. Couldn't earn it. I'm the righteousness of God through Christ. Not because I stand up here with a Bible. I could stand up here with a Bible all day and be lost as all get out and trying to do it on my own strength, but it's not. It's the righteousness of God that covers me. That is the message that we have. Can I give you a beautiful illustration, a 2024 illustration of what he's talking about here? Because when you get into a place saying, whoever receives a prophet's reward, receives a righteous person, receives a right. What are you talking about here, Jesus? In fact, again, if I'm in the moment, I'm probably still way back there. Did he say we're going to be flogged? Like, really? We want to sign up for this? Like, I'm still way back. I'm going to have to catch up later. Now, what did he say? I'm a little foggy here. What was he telling us? But here's what he's saying. I want you to look right here, this beautiful mural right here. Anybody know the name of this place that we're at? We meet in a florist parking lot, Norton's Florist. Can I tell you what I believe this verse means? It means these good-hearted people right here that say, hey, meet in our parking lot for free. Meet in our parking lot to do what you're doing. It means that any good that is out here, any reward that Jesus gives us, by the way, any reward he gives is just to give it back to him. So don't think you're going to hang on to it, because when you meet the holiness of God, we're going to lay it at His feet. We won't be able to keep it for ourselves. In fact, if you're kind of from the mindset that it's for yourself, it really wasn't a reward anyway, right? That's your reward. But here's what I think it means, is that any good that comes from what God has called us to do out here, these people share in that because of the goodness of their heart. They receive a prophet and a righteous person's reward because they know that the power of the gospel is being used in their parking lot. Isn't that beautiful? It even gets even better. I want to tell you, because there's some out here saying, I got nothing to give. Don't you tell me that. Yeah, you do. You got breath in your lungs, right? You got a pulse. You got a purpose. He's got something for you to do. And you say, well, I don't have any money. I don't have any, you know, all this stuff. You don't need it. You don't need it. Listen to me. You do not need that to serve a holy God. Time, talent, and treasure, hospitality towards messengers of God. We are a part of spreading His gospel. One of the beautiful things about church at Southside is nobody is paid out here. Everything you ever see out here is because people want to be out here. It's the calling of God that brings us out here. And because of that, your church family supports missionaries all over this globe. We got the funds to do it. When people give, it goes to what you see out here and to spread the gospel all around the world. You know why? We don't do it for that reason. But anybody that we're gracious to and give, we got people right now in Afghanistan. We got people in Peru. We got people in Costa Rica that we've helped. All these people all across the globe, when they do something for the gospel and there's this reward, we're a small part of it. And it's not for us to keep or to lord over, look how great we are. We very rarely talk about that. I share it to say that one day, your gifts that you've given, I don't care if it's a penny. Look at me. I don't care if it's a penny. If you've given it to somebody and said towards what we're doing, that one day you're going to be able to take that crown and lay it at Jesus' feet and say, it was for you. It was for you. Not for me. I didn't do it to gain favor. Can I just go on and save you some money? If you want to give money out here today to earn more of God's favor, just keep the 20, keep the 100. It ain't about that. You can't give more and say, well, he's proud of me. You can't be better tomorrow and him be more in love with you. He's already laid down his life. That's enough. There's no greater love than that, so quit trying to earn some special favor. How do you get more favor as a son? Can I tell you that? My mom's here. One of the most beautiful people in the parking lot. Jesse knows my mom. Jesse, you've met my mom, right? You would agree to that. My sister's out here. One beautiful people I know, Jamie. And I want to tell you this. There's nothing that she wouldn't do for me as her son. I mean, not every parent's that way. I was blessed with two of the best. And I'll tell you this. There's nothing as a son I can't get. It's already mine because I'm a son. You got the Father that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Don't tell me you can't come to him for something. He owns it already. It's already yours. Just ask. Just walk. Just trust. That's the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this. You say, well, I don't have money. I don't have really all these things that you're talking about. Let me ask you. I want everybody to think about this before I read this verse. Do you have the strength? Do you have the know-how? Do you have even the financial ability to do this? To rustle up a cold glass of water? Can everybody in this parking lot say, I could do that? Here's a hint. If you walk into any restaurant and order water, most of the time it's free. It don't cost you anything. You go into Taco Bell, say, can I have a water cup? And you go over to the little fountain, ice and water. Isn't that a cold cup of water? Right? All right. Be careful with anything else you order from Taco Bell, but the water's okay. 10:42 says this, whoever gives one of these little ones, and I want to take you, a lot of times when he says little ones, he's talking about let the little children come to me, right? He's talking to his disciples that he's already labeled. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. These are the little ones he's talking about in this moment. And I think there's a compassion of the Savior of gathering around his disciples saying, these ones that just got faith like a child that are going to go out there, even though I've told them, I'm sending you out in dangers. I'm sending you out where people may flog you. They still went, y'all. They still went. So he says, whoever gives one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, because he is my disciple, truly I say to you, by no means will he lose his reward. We are blessed that we live in the United States of America where water is not an expensive commodity to come in a cup this size. Everybody in this parking lot has the ability to round up a cup of cold water. Back then, they had wells. It wasn't as great a water. But even back then, a glass of cold water on a journey. Think about it. The heat, the walking around in this Middle East heat, this condition and everything, walking up these hills, and just coming across the bend, do you imagine how refreshing it would be for somebody to say, in Jesus' name, here's a cup of cold water. I'm talking about like refreshing to the soul, cup of cold water. And Jesus said, if you would just do that to the messenger, if you would just extend out, because they are my disciple, a cup of cold water in my name, you receive a reward. I want to tell you again, you say out here, well, I don't have money, I don't have this, I don't have that. You can round up a cup of cold water in your own way. I don't want you to think you got to be on the search for water. In the smallest of gestures, the kingdom of God advances through the ages. In the smallest of gestures. You don't believe me, I got a book full of them. I can tell you about it, and I'll tell you one here in just a second. Everybody out here can do that. The smallest of ways is a blessing to our King. I want to read this in closing today, and it is one of the most beautiful stories in all of Scripture. And it's my proof to you today. I stand on the truth of the gospel that it doesn't take much to serve your King. This is from Luke 21, and it says, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. I want to remind you, I've taught on this before, but back in the day, it had these like horns almost, these copper horns, loud. And what people would do that were uber righteous, they would take and in our today's terms, they would go and cash in a dollar and get 100 pennies, and they would stand back like Bozo in the grand prize game and just toss. And everybody would hear the clanking, and be like, oh my God, look how much money they're giving. And they weren't giving but a dollar, just tossing it, just for show, just to hear, and just to look at me, look at my reward, look how great I am. And basically what Jesus does, he looks at them and says, they didn't give anything. They didn't do a single thing, but you know the rest of the story, but it's too good to just leave it at that. It says, as they were giving their gifts into the offering box, he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And I can just imagine the humbleness of the widow as she goes up there and probably scared to death to even be judged that this is all I got. Probably gently laying them in there as hoping they wouldn't even make a sound. But laying these two small copper coins, you say, well, boy, that ain't much. In fact, I want to go on and do the math of you. Said that one of those copper coins in today's terms was an eighth, one-eighth of a penny. One-eighth of a penny. Monetary value, it was nothing. The disciples knew this. Everybody that saw this lady put all she had into this thing said, that's nothing. Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. Can you imagine the head scratch? Like, I just saw this guy up here for days throwing money. And she put in more? I mean, that's just not true. It says, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Can I tell you what that showed in Jesus? I'm going to put everything I got in here, and I'm not calling you to that. God may not be calling you to that. But he did her, and she listened, and she did it so beautifully of, I'm going to put all I have, knowing that I'm not going to miss because you got me. You got me. I can give everything I got, and I don't have to worry because I'm taking you at your word that you've got me. Jesus looked and said, all these people are giving out of their abundance, and they're giving with the wrong heart. But this lady, she gave everything she had because she fell in love with the King of Kings. Do you know him today? I pray you do. If not, you can. You don't have to dance. You don't have to sing. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You notice we're kind of empty of aisles down here. We don't even have a red carpet for you to walk down. If I did, I'd roll it out. But I can tell you this. In a parking lot in Birmingham, Alabama, your life can change forever because Jesus changes everything. All you got to do is say, I'm in. I believe. I believe. I believe that I don't have to answer for my own, that I can stand before a holy God one day and him say, the blood of Jesus covers this one. Come on in. My son, my daughter. My son that was lost is now found. My daughter that was dead is now alive. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Amen. Father, we thank you. Your gospel is too good to keep to ourselves. We are called to be ambassadors of you, and that's what we've done this morning. We have represented your kingdom the best we know how, as sinners, as unrighteous people on our own, but by the blood of Jesus, we are counted righteous before you. So that's what we count on today. It's what we count on tomorrow and the days ahead, whatever they bring. We trust in your word. We trust that you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. There is beauty in walking with. And for my friends out here that don't have that, I pray they don't leave this place without meeting you for the first time today. If we already know you, may we just be strengthened and encouraged. If we're a prodigal at the moment and running like hell away from you, I pray, Jesus, you draw us back home. Use something today. Draw us back home to you. We need you. We thank you. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.